Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We're glad to have you all worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or to give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card. Those cards are found in the seat rack in front of you. You may place that in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. All are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. At this time, I'd encourage everyone to sign the friendship pad. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please sign and pass them to your neighbor and then pass back across your row so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or following worship. It is a full Sunday in the life of our church, and so I have a few announcements before I turn it over to you. The first is that immediately following worship will be an inquirer's lunch. This is to give regular visitors to our church or anyone who's interested the opportunity to meet people to find out more about what makes this community, First Presbyterian Church, a special place. All are welcome. That will be upstairs in Hollis Hall immediately following worship. Lunch and childcare are provided. It is also Scout Sunday, and to celebrate our congregation's historic connection with scouting, I'd like to ask a few different people to stand. And we may not have anyone with this one, but is there anyone currently involved in scouting in our congregation? Either as a leader or as a member. Thanks, Ben. You're a trooper to stand up. Now I'd ask anyone who has been involved in scouting in any capacity to stand up. That should be a good number of us. Okay, ever. That's good. Great. I mean, you can see what you can sit down now. You're doing a great job. All right, last of all, anyone who has attained the rank of Eagle Scout or the highest rank in Girl Scouting, and I apologize, I do not know what that is, but if you would stand so we can recognize you. That's great. Thank you all. I hope we can continue to support our scouts, young and old among us, and celebrate this important connection in our church's life. Now I'd open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Yes, Anel.
Next Sunday is our second Sunday. Excuse me, we skipped January, but lunch prepared by Miss Rhonda, the extraordinary caterer, and this will be next Sunday following church. So do make sure you call and make reservations or text. Thank you.
Thank you, Annelle. There are others. Yes, Emma.
The day after service, we're collecting money for the Super Bowl of Caring, and all the proceeds will be donated to the Northwest Georgia branch of the Chattanooga Area Food Bank, and it's just a good way to spread the caringness of the Super Bowl spirit and make sure people have access to food when they need it. So thank you. Please donate your money.
Thank you, Emma. So the children and the youth will be standing at the exits and will follow you to your cars until you give a little. That's great. Are there any others? Yes, Tate.
Hey, Katie and I are hosting the Young Adult Super Bowl party tonight at our house at 6 o'clock. If you're interested in coming, there'll be plenty of kids. It'll be a good time. Just let us know, and look forward to seeing you. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Are there any others? It is a joy to gather together as a community of faith and celebrate what God is doing in our midst. With joy and thanksgiving, let us worship God. Let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. If you, O Lord, in you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be the same thing. For you, O Lord, are my hope.
My trust, O Lord, from my youth.
Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we wander here by different ways, but we are here for the same reason. We hunger for something more. Give us the food of your word and spirit to receive forgiveness and grace, to find meaning and purpose, to hear comfort and challenge, to stretch and grow, to worship you with our heart, mind, and strength, to become the people you created us to be, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins first in silence. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in the power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. You are already here. You're too quick. Good morning. Come on. Come on down. Good morning. That's great. We have a new friend with us today. Can you tell us your name? Tristan, good morning, Tristan.
This is my second day.
This is your second day? Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you're up here. We're glad you're here. How is everyone today?
Good.
Good. Okay, I have a question for you. I know I've asked you this before, but it's been a while, so the answer might have changed. What do you want to be when you grow up? Do you know? Do you have an answer, Andrew?
Inventor.
An inventor. That's interesting.
I'm
an inventor? That's a great idea. We're going to have a lot of new things around here. What else?
Yeah,
a scientist. Wow, that's impressive. Some of you are thinking very deeply. Do you all have an answer? Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? It's okay. You don't have to know. You don't have to know for a long, long time. I think there's some people out here who probably don't know either.
I want to be a jockey.
A jockey? That's a good. I haven't heard that one before.
A ballerina.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
she does have a lot of friends. Okay.
We
have a lot of good ideas. Okay, well, you sit now. You can talk to me after worship, okay? All right. You want to come sit? Okay. So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about someone named Jeremiah. Have you heard that name before? Yeah, you have. Good. Do you know what Jeremiah was when he grew up? Close. You were going to say priest. He was a prophet. You remember what a prophet does? He wanders around and he talks to people and he tells them about God. And we don't know how old Jeremiah was when he started doing this. That is, a lot of people, I think, have to give him food. Now, he didn't have to pay for a whole lot of things, I guess. Oh, we don't know if he had kids or not. You know, Jeremiah had an interesting life, so his wasn't like yours or mine. Well, we don't know. But what we do know is when Jeremiah was very young, maybe not much older than you, God came and God spoke to him. And he didn't ask Jeremiah, what do you want to do when you grow up? God said, Jeremiah, I've come and I'm going to make you a prophet. You're going to go to all the nations and tell people about me. So you know what Jeremiah said? What did he say?
Yes, God, I'll do what you say. He
said that eventually. He said, I think I'm a little young for that, don't you? Can you imagine what would happen if God came to you and said, I want you to go up and I want you to preach? Maybe that'll happen. But instead, Jeremiah said, I'm too young. And God said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to help you anyway. And that's one of the great things about no matter what we do when we grow up, whether we're scientists or inventors or jockeys or ballerinas or prophets, God will give us all the help that we need. God says to each one of us just what he said to Jeremiah, I love you and I will be with you. So I want you to remember that as you go from here. Yeah, no matter what you do, no matter what you grew up to be, God loves you and God will be with you. Thanks for your help in telling the story. Can we have a prayer before we go? Oh, thank you. Can you put your hands together? And let's close our eyes and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for your love, for being with us no matter where we go. Be with us as we go from here. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hold still for 1 second while we say goodbye. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. On the first Scripture reading this morning comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13. Listen for God's word. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for the prophecies, they will come to an end. As for the tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesize only in part. But when the complete comes, the path will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1. Here is an early scene in the life of Jeremiah. We don't know much about him, but we know he likely worked with his father, a priest in the town of Anathoth, that God came to him as a young child and spoke these words. From Jeremiah chapter 1, listen for God's word to you. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, speak your word into our hearts. We would hear your assurance and love as we discover the challenge and the joy of life with you. Encourage us to overcome obstacles even when they come from deep within us. Let your own faith, hope, and love grow instead. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. We might forgive Jeremiah for his hesitancy. After all, like we pointed out before, God didn't intervene and ask him what he wanted to be when he grew up. Maybe he wanted to be a jockey or an inventor or a ballerina. That wasn't the case. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. If he had known at the outset of his life the things that he would face, the persecution, the abandonment, the exile, he might have pushed back against God a little bit harder. "Thank you, God. I'm sure you can find someone who is more qualified and capable to be a prophet to the nations." The highlights of Jeremiah's career include things like living on the lam, hiding from political authorities, especially his own people. He even spent some time in a literal pit. He saw Jerusalem destroyed and its temple. He's one of the few biblical writers, authors, to have a couple of books attributed to him. One, there's Jeremiah, but then there's also Lamentations, a book of his complaints. So there's a reason you don't hear quite as much about Jeremiah as you might, I don't know, Jesus or Isaiah. It's because Jeremiah complained a lot. And if you wanted a comforting word from God, probably the last book you're going to look at is Lamentations. So if we're hesitant to look at Jeremiah, maybe we can understand why Jeremiah is a bit anxious about his life with God here at the outset. This hesitancy or this kind of excuse is a common occurrence for the people God uses. The psalmist declares in a humbling statement of reverence, "What are mortals that you are mindful of them?" And that sounds very different coming out of the mouth of someone like Job, who says, "What are mortals that you are mindful of them?" Which is a shorthand way of saying, "God, why don't you please leave me alone for a while?" This is true of almost everyone God calls. Jeremiah says as much when he questions God's plans for him. God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations." God has plans for Jeremiah, and those plans reach back all the way to the time before he was born. that Jeremiah doubts this call and the extreme challenge of what he's been called to do, which is announce God's judgment to the nations. So he points out his basic limitations. He says, I am only a boy. I do not know how to speak. It's a kind of innocent humility that a child would have when asked to do something by an adult, much less God. It's also a kind of self-doubt that follows Jeremiah for the rest of his life. Robert Frost once wrote, "Oh, should a child be left unwarned that any song in which he mourned should be as if he prophesied." God will ask impossible things of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah will always respond with hesitancy. So forget the idea of a calling, of a grand plan that God has in your life. Just for a minute, we'll get to that. Maybe you can remember a time in your life when you had something in front of you, a task, a challenge, an obstacle, a choice, and you did everything you possibly could to get around it. Or you didn't even want to begin tackling it. Sometimes the obstacle is obvious, an illness that has a set plan of treatment, but even when you know what the problem is, that doesn't make it any easier to face. Or sometimes you don't even know what the problem is, and that makes it even more difficult. Maybe you have a relationship that needs a hard conversation. Too many things have been left unsaid, but you don't have it in you to begin. Maybe you have a problem that you've spent a long time trying to tiptoe around, realizing in the process that denial can be a pretty powerful force. Maybe there's a hard thing you have to do, but you just can't. It could be anything. It could be work or school, kids or parents, aging or friends, neighbors, health, anxiety, money, wealth, the future. You have something that's in front of you, and you don't know what you're going to do about it. You say to yourself, I am only me, and I do not have the slightest idea what to do. Some people have a special gift to just go ahead and do the unpleasant thing. But I think that's rare. I'm willing to guess that for each one of us, there comes a point where the self-doubt is too much. You say to yourself, I'm not smart enough, or strong enough, or dedicated enough, or well enough. I'm tired, or I'm distracted, or I've just been trying to keep it together for too long. So what happens when you get to that problem you can't solve or that thing you can't conquer that all of a sudden becomes a revelation of your own inadequacy? If you can't summit the challenge in front of you, you know why, because you know your limitations all too well. For Jeremiah, this was this moment where he said to God, I cannot speak, I am only a boy. God was going to ask Jeremiah to be a prophet, meaning his job was going to go out in the midst of an unjust world and tell all the powerful people that God was coming to judge them. He was not going to be popular or have an easy life. One might expect that a person who was at the time as young as Jeremiah would be understandably hesitant. There was nothing special about him. We don't really know much about Jeremiah, which probably means there wasn't much to distinguish him from anyone else in his day. We think his father was a priest, but I guarantee you that does not make you special. The only thing that could have possibly overridden Jeremiah's self-understanding, his limitations, his imperfections, was the one simple fact that God expected something more. So notice how God answers Jeremiah. He doesn't say, you're right to be a little concerned, But don't worry, it's not going to be that hard. There's a reason why our picture of God and human life has to do with a cross. Following an assurance of God's presence, God says to Jeremiah, "See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant." Meaning, not only is this the hardest thing you're ever going to have to do, but it is going to come with immense responsibilities that are going to affect countless lives. Which means, as we're listening to this, thinking about our own challenges, we think, "Thanks, God, this really isn't helping our apprehension." This is why we talk about calling at church. There's a difference between the run-of-the-mill struggles and challenges we face in our everyday lives, but and the challenges that God puts in front of us, because they're nothing less than a part of our life with God, and what it means to follow Jesus Christ. For one, God asks hard things of us. We might think it's easy to ignore that call and think to ourselves, "There are plenty of people out there helping. Why does it need to be me?" But there's an important part of our life with God. It is, God has ordained you to something. You may not know what it is right now, or you may not have even begun to ask that question, but you'll know when God calls you, because one of the things you'll discover is that it's going to be a very hard thing that God asks you to do. And the only thing that makes it possible is the fact that God promises nothing less than constant abiding presence and love and help. And that's why God asks us to do impossible things. Because the challenges of our lives aren't spotlights on our imperfections so much as they are revelations of God's grace. But look at this story from God's perspective. Jeremiah complains that he's only a boy. The charge that God has given him cannot possibly be accomplished, to which God says, "Do not say you are only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid with them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." That's the grace. It doesn't matter the struggle or the challenge. It doesn't matter how hard you think it may be or how desperately you try to avoid it. God calls you to a life full of struggle, asking you to do things like love your enemies, give to all who ask of you, and be a servant of all. God asks you to carry a cross, and the only way you could ever do that, the only way you could ever follow in the footsteps of Jesus, is with the constant and abiding presence of God, which is just what God wants to give you. Says George MacDonald, "What God may hereafter require of you, you must not give yourself the least trouble about. Everything he gives you, you must do as well as ever you can. The best possible preparation for what he may want you to do next. If people would do but what they have to do, they would always find themselves ready for what came next." I would add that what tends to happen is that God shows up in what's next too. The next place, the next challenge, the next obstacle. What could be a life full of struggle and challenge and hardship becomes, after years of discovering the next and the next and the next, a life full of God. So we all have callings. We all have something that God has asked us to do, us in particular. It is special to us. There is no one else who has the exact same calling that you do. Could be parenthood or grandparenthood. It could be a job that morphs into a unique way of serving the people around you. It could be to be an encouraging presence to others, or to teach, or to give, or to help. If you have a calling, it's likely you're going to discover problems that bump up against you and that seem insolvable. Someone will not accept your help or your teaching or what you have to give. And really, that becomes a real gift. Because it's only the challenging, frustrating, difficult things that give us confirmation of our vocation because we know that God is in the midst of it. And that consequently, our way through the problem will be nothing less than the presence of God. It's true for each one of us. It's true for our church. God is present, even in hard things. And it's true that in discovering a vocation, what we're doing is discovering a calling that is worth our effort and our struggle and our life. Because that's what God has asked us to do. And the real test of a vocation is this. Is it something that is worth your life? That's why the challenges we sometimes face seem so big. We see our limitations. God sees our endless capacity and need for grace, which is just what makes impossible work possible. God, who has appointed us over nations, over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. If we're hesitant, good. That's the first step. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In gratitude for all that God has given us, let us return our gifts to God. You may be seated. The God who calls us, the God who challenges us, brings us to this table to feed us with the life, the love, the grace of Jesus Christ. This is not a Presbyterian table. This is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites all those who trust in Him and believe in His name to share in the feast which He has prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Blessed are you, God, faithful and strong. All your works, the height and depth, echo the silent music of your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light, night withdrew, and creation dawned. Then, as if ages had passed unseen, waters gathered on the face of the earth, and life appeared. When at the last days had ripened and the earth was grown full in abundance, you created in your image man and woman, the stewards of all creation. You gave us breath and speech that all the living might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you made and called good. O holy God, how wonderful is the work of your hands. Because sin rose up to leave a fault line even in the earth, you stepped forward to enter into a covenant of peace that can renew the whole creation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, as a father joyfully welcomes his own, you embraced a people as yours, filling them with a longing for peace that will last, a justice that will never fail. Through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered his life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us, and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ, and that in him we may become one. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." So often, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled." We invite you to come forward and receive. have all been served. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for the gift of your Spirit, your life poured out for us in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love which stretches before we are even born and follows us all the days of our lives. And we ask that it would follow us from here, that as those who have received your grace, we would have more to share with a hungry and thirsty world. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is with us in the power of his Spirit, teaching us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We who have been fed by Jesus Christ, I hope you will consider feeding others through gifts by the help of our children. And also, if you are curious about First Presbyterian Church and would like to know more, I would encourage you to let us feed you again upstairs immediately following worship. But wherever you go, fed by grace, go bearing the image of Jesus Christ, and trust that no matter the challenge you face, God is with you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.